Know that we have been in this series on standing strong in a fallen world. And we're in this series from the book of Daniel, where we can learn from a choice servant of God. You can stand for Jesus today. No matter how old you are or how young you are, you can stand for Jesus today. And the world needs people standing for Jesus. Amen? You may recall that the theme of the book of Daniel is this: the sovereign protection of God in every situation for those who are 2 and 3, or 3 and 2 weeks ago from Daniel chapter 1, we've already learned these things, that God's sovereignty is in every circumstance. Look for it. Secondly, God's people refuse to compromise their faith. Stand for it. And then third, God's blessing comes to those who are loyal. Wait for it. Now go to Daniel chapter 2. Today we're making the transition into Daniel chapter 2. So here we are, we're in this series on really just the first 6 chapters of Daniel, where we're talking about standing for Christ with a strong faith in a hostile world. I think it would be helpful for us to understand this morning that each of the first 6 chapters of Daniel is actually a story all by itself. So what does that mean? That the book of Daniel does not just flow from one chapter and pick up from one chapter to the next. That's not the case with the book of Daniel. Actually, these chapters, each chapter is an individual event, or individual events that happened over the span of many, many years. You might remember from a few weeks ago when Daniel and other Jews were first brought into Babylonian captivity, they would have been teenagers. So by the time Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, he was probably in his early 80s. That's a long time, isn't it? So I think it's important to know that Daniel's life was not a miracle every day, all right? No, what he did was, is he chose to write about 6 major events in his life that happened where God intervened on his behalf in those events, and then Daniel, toward the end of his life, he included them in his book, and they happened to make it into God's inspired word. Now, I'm sure that at some point in your life, you have been to a school production or a live theater or some kind of play to see a drama. You know, like children's talent show night, right? We'd go to the talent show night when our kids were all in elementary school. And now they have drama classes. So you know, you've been to some kind of play or live theater to see a drama. So what you'd know now is that plays or dramas, they're organized into several different acts or scenes. Yeah, scene 1, scene 2, I'm sure you know what I mean. That is how we are going to view the book of Daniel this Sunday and next, possibly a third Sunday, but certainly this Sunday and next. So, by the way, oh, I almost forgot to do something. I need to come back and get this. So even though we're in this series, today's message has 2 parts. So to get the rest of today's message, you have to come back next Sunday. Otherwise, you've missed the second half of one message, right? Now, here's what I forgot to do earlier that I want to make sure that you are a part of as well. At the end of the first service today, there was a message in tongues given, and there was an interpretation. Now, why does God give us these gifts? He gives different people different gifts, but we know that tongues is a gift given by the Lord, an interpretation of that. Why? So that the body of Christ can be edified, built up. Right? And I understand, yet we're 2 services but 1 church. So I feel it in my heart, and it's just as much for us in the second service as it was for those who gathered in the first service. I've given a word today, and that we need to respond to that word, and then there was an emphasis, don't delay in responding to the word of God because you don't know what tomorrow has. And then there was an added part of that that said, especially if there's someone that you need to go to, there's business that you need to tend to, the Holy Spirit's going to prompt your heart today, okay? So I want to encourage you from the word of the Lord that came after the message in the first service. Listen to God's word and respond to it and don't delay. And do whatever you have to do to obey the word of the Lord. Amen? All right. So that's over. Let's move on. We're going to go to Daniel chapter 2 this Sunday and next. But hear me, before we discover the truths from this passage and how they apply to us today, we need to know and understand the story. Okay? Did you know that when you get into God's Word and get God's Word into you, or when you come to a setting like this or a Wednesday night, God wants to feed the souls of His people. So that means we have to take time to look into His Word and see what is here. And there's two areas we need to discover. Number one, finding the truths of the story. And then number two, applying the truths to our lives. So I told you, we're going to treat Daniel chapter 2 like the scenes of a play, okay? There are five scenes in Daniel chapter 2 that we're going to look at today and next Sunday at least. So what you need to do is you need to listen on purpose so you can see later how the Spirit of God can use His Word to make a difference in your life. Okay, here we go. Five scenes. Scene number one, the king freaks out. All right, if you're taking notes today, you can write that down. All right, that's scene number one out of Daniel chapter 2. The king freaks out. Well, let's read it. Verse 1 of Daniel chapter 2 says this, and we're going to go through several verses together today. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled, and he could not sleep. Some translations say his spirit was troubled. Now here's something important to know. Nebuchadnezzar was not some weak and wimpy king, okay? In fact, history proves this in addition to what is recorded in Scripture about him. Now verse 1 says he had dreams. There's an S there, it's plural. Now as the story unfolds, we get a little bit of an idea that okay, he had many dreams, but there's at least indication there that it seemed to be the same dream over and over, or at least had the same theme, and his mind or his spirit was troubled. So not just one dream, but apparently night after night after night, he had these dreams to the point he was so disturbed, I can imagine he probably feared even going to bed at night. So more than just losing sleep, though, the Bible says his spirit was troubled. We just read that, right? You know what that literally means in the Hebrew language? It literally means it smote itself. His spirit was so troubled, it was smiting itself. It was tearing itself down, tearing itself apart. He was beating himself up over this because of the turmoil that was inside of him, inside of his heart, and he was so troubled that his sleep left him. Have you ever been so perturbed or troubled or hurt over something, you couldn't go to sleep at night? Or when you did finally get to sleep, you'd wake up in the middle of the night and you couldn't go back to sleep. It was just consuming you and troubling you. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you're in a situation in your life. You're there now. And I don't know about you today, but I know some people, if they lose just one night of sleep, they're a mess for a week. Right? Is that you? So you can imagine Nebuchadnezzar night after night after night for who knows how long. So King Nebuchadnezzar was not just making a big deal out of nothing here. Now we all know those kind of people too, that you know, kind of make a mountain out of a molehill. No, he was not making a big deal out of nothing here. And he was not a weak and wimpy king. In fact, King Nebuchadnezzar is one of the greatest leaders that human history has ever observed in terms of the size and the scope of the kingdom that he ruled over. If you think here today that he's just some fairy tale character in Scripture that didn't really exist, you need to think again. You need to look again. Anyone ever heard of the World Book Encyclopedia? Come on, who remembers the salesman coming to your house? All extra, you get the me on the phone and says, what do you want me to do, right? I mean, when's the last time you cracked a, what do you want me to do with all of these? They're in the closet collecting. And someday it will be my problem still, right? This guy, King Nebuchadnezzar. It says, King Nebuchadnezzar reigned as the king of Babylon, 62 BC. What's that, 43 years? City of Jerusalem a second time in a moment. Now, we're talking about standing strong. Remember from 3 and 2 weeks ago, first Babylonian exile. Remember, there's 3, 7 a second time. This period of Jewish history, the World Book Encyclopedia picks up and says, Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar, probably built the Hanging Gardens of the World Book Encyclopedia because, but it's still a historical book. And Nebuchadnezzar was a real guy who lived at a real time in life, and he had a real problem. God had sent some dreams into his life that had him so troubled that his sleep was leaving him. We pick up in verses 2 and 3. So the king summoned the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, I have had a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means. That's something I want you to know also that the history books record. This was an interesting group of guys. Here, it's the magicians, astrologers, sorcerers. And a little research reveals that they were well-educated in their day, in their education system, and they were skilled in the matters of the occult. They practice a pseudoscience of what is known as divination, sorcery, in other words. So they would do things they would claim to tell the future. They would interpret people's dreams. They claimed they could read the stars to be able to tell the future. They would also do things like if a child or an animal was born and that child or animal had a deformity, they claimed that they had some way of looking at these deformities to be able to predict the future. Basically, these guys were sick scoundrels, okay? That's what we need to know. History records that they would also do things like take the liver of a sheep. They would take the liver of a sheep and they would cut it into pieces and then throw it on a table, and however they would fall on the table is how they would predict the future. So really, these guys were really nothing more than carnival trickery, to be honest with you. But we see at some point that King Nebuchadnezzar finally had a meltdown in the middle of one particular night with the idea, I cannot take this anymore. So he sends a servant over to the quarters of the magicians and the conjurers, the astrologers, people that were considered wise men or wise guys in their day. And he says, I want you to go get them, and I want you to bring them back here to the palace. It's kind of like Sleepless in Babylon. And that one just kind of went over most of you. We'll talk about that later, right? So the king is probably thinking in his mind, listen, this has been messing with me for weeks. So if I'm not sleeping, neither are you. Get over here and help me tonight. So you can imagine. You can imagine all these guys walking over to the palace together saying, okay, we've got to make up something really good so we can get this king off of our backs and go back to bed and get back to sleep. But once they get to the palace, they discover just how serious things are. Verses 4 and 5. Then the astrologers answered the king, may the king live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will interpret it. The king replied to the astrologers. I want you to get this. This is his reply. He says, this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me the dream and interpret it, I will have you cut into pieces. And your houses turned into piles of rubble. Wow, what do we just read here? Well, they start out with a little prescribed king worship. And then they ask what the dream was that he's been having. And then the Chaldeans, or these astrologers here, they hear what the king has to say. And you can almost hear them thinking in their minds, whoa, okay, we... Get this, then the king adds, tell me the dream and explain it. You will receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So tell me the dream and interpret it for me. This is where scene two starts. So scene one is what? The king freaks out. Scene two is this. The Chaldeans, or the astrologers, magicians, they were people from Chaldea, so the Chaldeans. The Chaldeans stall for time. Probably what you and I would be doing, right? Verse 7 of Daniel chapter 2 says this, "Once more they replied, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will interpret it." What are they doing? They're stalling for time, and now we're about to find out. The king catches on to what they're doing, and he says this to them in verses 8 and 9. Then the king answers, "I am certain that you are trying to gain time because you realize what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me the dream, there is only one penalty for you. You have conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping the situation will change. So then, tell me the dream, and I will know that you can interpret it for me." Wow. You see, the king saw their plan and said, in essence, "I know what you guys are going to do. You're going to lie to me about a bunch of stuff that you made up, and you're going to hope that I forget about the whole thing in a week or two, and then I'm just going to move on to a new problem." So he tells them here, first, tell me what I actually dreamed. Tell me the things I've been seeing in my head, then give the interpretation, or you're dead. All right? This way, you can imagine him thinking, this way, I'm going to know that you guys are not just some phony sideshow. You can almost hear from the pages of Scripture a gulp. And we're not talking about big gulps from 7-Eleven, are we? You can imagine what's going on in their mind. They now realize, hey, we are in trouble. And you got to love their answer that comes out in verses 10 and 11. The astrologers answered the king, "There's no one on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among humans." Wow. But now in scene two here, the plot thickens even more in verse 12. Their response, it says, this made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all of the wise men of Babylon. So their response totally ticked him off. So he's saying, not only are you going to be cut to pieces and your house turned into rubbles, all of the wise men, all of the astrologers, all of the people that have been trained, you're all going to die. All right? So he's serious about this. Now, you may remember back from chapter 1 that Daniel was taken prisoner from Jerusalem and three Hebrew friends, and they were in this brainwashing and education program. You know what that means? That this would have been done by the very people that the king was now saying had to be killed. So all of the wise men of Babylon, now who does that include? Daniel and the three Hebrew children. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are their Babylonian given names. Okay, now they are decreed to be killed. Verse 13. of Daniel chapter 2. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death. And men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. So they get a knock in the middle of the night. Yes, can I help you? We're here to kill you. Okay, you think that's funny. Daniel did not, right? I love the way Daniel responds to this in verses 14 through 16. It's really with discretion. Of the king's guard had gone out. He asked a harsh decree. Arioch asked for time. So that takes us to scene 3 here. Daniel seeks. So first, in verse 16, we see Daniel. So Daniel goes, King, can we have some time? Then his friends. Their Hebrew given names. Isn't that interesting? We know them more by their... Is Hananiah, Mishteen. He urged them to please his friends might not be executed with the rest. Word gets out to Daniel the king, able to interpret the dream or to death. Daniel called here. Might have looked and sounded. And we forget that this is a real event that happened. Okay, can I get quick? Don't be bashful. Number 2, I need another volunteer. Another volunteer. Come on. I saw a willingness participant over here. Okay, you're going to be Daniel. Good to that the king is sending people to kill how I might die. I don't think I would want to be. And going back, and now your wife and children are going to be affected horribly as well. Because he's gotten a decree, or he knows that your friends are going to be killed as well. You're going to be choked. The scripture teaches us he called a prayer meeting, right? All right. Hold hands from scripture, right? He calls a prayer meeting. Be cut to pieces, put to death. He sought God, right? So now you know you could be moments from being put to death. You've called this prayer meeting. I want you guys to show us what this prayer meeting probably looked like. The word's just gotten to you. Begin to cry out to God now. Come on.
Jesus.
Right.
God, help us, Father God.
That's right.
Not
try to die. Okay, now, the first service, only one of them finally got it. They're up there. You've just been told you're going to be killed for crying out loud. They got it. God, help us, right? Let's give our actors in scene 3 a good hand today, right? Yeah. So, we'll look for you on the big screen out of Hollywood. Next year, right? Listen, that prayer meeting was not some little feeble, weak little prayer meeting like we might be accustomed to where we just go through some mundane prayer routine. How many would agree that prayer meeting was probably a pretty intense prayer time, right? So I believe they laid a hold of God. God! This is a one-time shot. We need you now. We need you, but please help us. Our lives are on the line. Now, how many would like to be a part of a prayer meeting like that? Well, be careful. If you want to be a part of a prayer meeting like that, then you're probably in a situation like that. All right, now let me ask you again. Who'd like to be a part of a prayer meeting like that? Yeah, all of a sudden we might be okay with, well, Lord, maybe if you get a chance to help us, you know, if you have time, you're probably sleeping. No. I wonder if we so often don't have prayer answered because we're so weak in prayer. See, the Bible says that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man results in much. When we cry out to God in faith and lay a hold of Him with passion and earnestness, that's when God leans over the throne of heaven and reaches down and grabs a hold of our prayers and begins to act on our behalf. So Daniel seeks the Lord and he finds Him. I want you to consider, and we're going to read verse 19 in a moment, but Daniel could have thought, well, this is it. He's the king. We just heard the decree. And who knows, by that time, they might have already, he could have been hearing in the distance the wailing of the astrologers that were in the palace being cut to pieces. So they're hearing, he could have been hearing in the distance the demise that was coming his way. Daniel could have just thought, well, I guess that's it. We were ripped out of our homeland. We were brought here, put in this brainwashing program. We always already thought the king could have been insane, and now this decree, this is unbelievable, and this is how we're going to die. We're not even going to be able to be buried back in our homeland with our fathers in Israel. But no, he sought the Lord. Daniel understood, hey, God, this is bigger than me, but it's not bigger than you. There's nothing I can do about it in the flesh, in my humanity, but I can go to God Almighty who can do something about it. Look at verse 19 here. During the night, so here, verse 18, and his friend, they urged, or he urged them to plead for mercy from God in verse 18. Concerning this mystery, so that they might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Verse 19, during the night. The mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven. Oh, now Daniel can't sleep. First it was the king, now it's Daniel, he can't sleep. And the next thing you know, in vivid high definition, sovereign vision, God reveals the mystery to Daniel. And Daniel is so blessed and overwhelmed with this that he busts out with this great declaration of praise to God. In verses 20 through 23, in the interest of time, we're not going to get to verses 20 to 23 today. We'll pick up next week. You got to come back to get the rest of the story. And we already get an indicator to this later. It was prayer that was the turning point in the story. It wasn't when Daniel went to the king, hey, can we buy a little time here? No, the turning point in this story is when David went to his three Hebrew friends and says, let's cry out to God for mercy, that we won't be killed like the other wise men in Babylon are going to be put to death. I mean, what the king had decreed was crazy, wasn't it? You look in human terms, that's absolutely unreasonable to say, okay, you tell me what I dreamed and then tell me the interpretation. But he knew they were scoundrels. But even outside of that, that is such an unrealistic demand to put on someone. And maybe you are in this place today and you're burdened down. You're in pain because of the unreasonable actions, because of the crazy demands that someone else, a person in your influence, or a person of influence in your life has put on you. And you, God, this is just bigger than me. But it's not bigger than God. Lord, I'm in a circumstance. Maybe you're in a circumstance. You're in a situation that there's no way you could have ever imagined that happened. Daniel and his three friends would have had no way of imagining, oh, gee, the king's going to have a dream, and since nobody can tell the dream and then interpret it, we're all going to be put to death. I mean, you just can't make this stuff up. But there they are. And maybe you're here today and you're in a situation you can't just make up either. It's unreal. The influence, the demands of someone in your life is just, it's crazy. It's insane. And it's having a horrible effect on you, and it's damaging you. It's destroying things in you. And isn't that often how it works, that the thoughts, the words, the actions of someone else is having such an adverse and horrible effect on you? And you realize, God, this is crazy. It's unreasonable. I don't understand it. There's no logic to it. It's bigger than me, but it's not bigger than you. So let me ask you today, is there anything in your life that you need to seek and find the Lord in? Because only God can help you. Would you stand with me this afternoon? Standing strong in a fallen world. We look at the news, we see how crazy the world is today. Daniel lived in a crazy time. This guy was nuts. And unfortunately, it was an insane individual that had a crazy amount of power that could get so upset over someone not being able to tell him his dreams that he could just put all these people to death. But we all face circumstances that are out of our control, but they're not out of God's control. Are you here today and someone in your life is freaked out or a crazy situation? And you've tried to stall for time, maybe. You've tried to get away from dealing with it, thinking, well, if I just ignore it, the problem's going to go away. And your problem's not going away any more than the astrologer's problem went away. In fact, the king says, I know what you're doing. You're just trying to stall for time to make up something, and it's not going to work. And you stalling for time in your situation, in your circumstance, with that individual, or whatever the case may be, is not going to work any better for you than it did for the astrologers in Daniel chapter 2. Now, Daniel didn't run and get a lawyer. He didn't run to a counselor. He didn't run to someone he knew was going to agree with him and they could just cry on each other's shoulder and huddle around the room until the king's guy came and put him to death. No, he went to other covenant people. He went to people that were in covenant promise with God and said, hey, let's join together here and let's cry out to God and ask him that he'll have mercy on us. And that's where you are today. I wonder if you're here today and you believe that Daniel's God is your God. I wonder today if you're here today and you believe in your heart of hearts that you can plead for mercy to the same God that Daniel and Mishael and Azariah and the other one cried out to, right? Shadrach wants you to know God is here. Coming, you're saying, God, I'm going to cry out to you. I've heard the word of the Lord today. Now listen, we already got a hint here. The story ends good, but Daniel didn't know that. When he got on his knees and prayed, the mystery hadn't been revealed yet. The answer hadn't come yet. No, they had to cry out to God first. Come on, anybody here, there's something going on in your life. You need to cry out to God. You need to go to the God of Daniel all over this place. Remember the message in tongues and interpretation from the last service. It's for you to not only hear the word of the Lord today, but respond to it and do not delay. You do not know what tomorrow holds. Come on, all across this place, you need to cry out to God. It's something deep in your heart. It's a relationship issue. You're burdened. You're hurting. You're confused. You're doubting. You're thinking, God, the heavens have been brass. It seems like you have not been listening. It seems like you don't care. Daniel could have thought, God, this decree from the king is insane. Do you not see, God, what is going on? Do you not hear? Can you not help us? The man came to their door to put them to death. And maybe you're in a situation that seems hopeless. It seems it's at death's door.